Hey, everybody. Welcome to Puck Off. Excuse me. Easy for me to say. We've made it all the way through summer programming. This is it, the last one. If you have been listening to them all, we've had some great ones and some good ones. No clunkers, I don't even think. But I thought last week's was great with Joe Gonzalez. A fun one. And we've had a few good ones. Once again, the Captain Frazier is a healthy scratch. If you live in L.A., you know he's been on KLOS like every day. So good for him making the money. And we gave him a break, summer break. He's actually taking the summer off now. But next week, we are back to regular hockey programming. Next week begins our 10 things to look at for next season, and then our division previews, and then the season starts, and then we get Corey Hirsch back, and all the awards, and all the sound effects, and all the anger that everyone has come to love and enjoy. Next week is also a new beginning, and a lot for this show, but we'll get to that a little bit later. But once again, I'd like to thank everyone for sticking out the summer. We made it once again. Now let's see what's been going on this week. Not too much. One thing we'll get to real quick, a super fan, good guy, and I wish I would have wrote down his name on my list, and I forgot, but he knows who he is. I'll remember it maybe next week. But he made the tweet we were talking about last week about putting ads on jerseys, and lucky we had Joe in here who's actually smart and could talk about it. But he's wondering if Bettman did that, is going to put advertising on jerseys to counteract, you know, the money they're losing in all the bad franchises, i.e. Florida and Arizona. Now, my answer to that is no, because I think it's just a money grab, period, and I think that they'll do it anyway, and I don't think that even factors in to the money lost. Kind of like the money lost is a black eye in those franchises, but I don't really think it affects, you know, the Rangers or Detroit or the Penguins or even the Kings. Like, I think any team that makes money isn't affected by the teams that lose money. Now, obviously, if, you know, Phoenix is like a top 10 market, and if they actually fielded a team that could win a game or two and it would help the national ratings, then I think that would help. But I think just if they have 3,000 people in the seats and I can go get tickets for $3, I don't think it affects the Rangers-Islanders game or the Rangers-Islanders bottom line. I think it's just a money grab, and I think they're going to do it. And our fan also said, well, hey, you know, he does think it will be on the fans' jerseys, which I do think is a sad effect. In real hockey news, Mark Giordano today signed a 6-year deal to remain captain of the Calgary Flames and play defense for them. So in case you all thought that Dougie Hamilton was going to go and wear the C over there, not going to happen, Giordano. I guess, and will be around for 6 more years. Hopefully he's good for all 6. He's a good guy, a great leader, and it just more convolutes the back end for Calgary, but we'll get to that when we hit the Western Division, Western Conference, whatever they want to call it. Also this week, our friend, one of the original Skirt Brigades, Christian Ehrhoff, signed by the LA Kings. To say I think it's a bad signing and a waste of money is an understatement. As a matter of fact, I'm finishing up my column for all the various outlets to carry my column this week. And as I'm polishing up the grades, mostly what we talked about last week with Joe, I am going to downgrade the Kings grade because it is a waste of $1.5 million. You know, he's not going to play all 82. He takes that $1.5 million away from someone that could have been a defenseman on your team and could have played all season and could have went into the corner. And like, oh, well, he's going to go with the power play. Oh, he can do the power. And that's why they have Dowdy and all those other kids and the kids they're trying to bring up and teach about the power play. And, I mean, I don't know. Terrible, terrible signing. Bad Kings, bad Kings, bad Kings. And I'll be seeing them a lot. So as much as I, you know, well, hopefully, I don't know. I obviously don't wish ill will. But, you know, I guess I'll be seeing them a lot, not yelling in the corners and being scared. Sutter's going to choke him if Sutter makes it past Thanksgiving himself. And other, well, maybe a better signing, but a just as questioning stupid signing. Tom Cicito, whatever, the big ex-flyer wannabe goon. I guess he's a goon. I think he recently in Vancouver's in Vancouver's system or played with Vancouver. I just heard this on the drive over here. He signed with the Pittsburgh Penguins. Whoa! All right, we got a guy that's going to take stupid penalties. We just got rid of Downey, and now we got Cicito. You know, whatever. I guess, is he on a minor league team? I don't know. I hope he, I guess he's, keep him in the minors. Call him up to play the Flyers. I guess that's, but that's what we have Bobby Farnham for. But I guess Cicito is to win fights. He actually, because I tweeted on the elevator right up here, I was looking at the article, like, he's going to protect the Penguins. You know, hey, Cicito, I hope you're not on, I hope you're not one of the 12 guys getting a sweater, unless it's against the Flyers. Like, I hope you're protecting them in the press box. But, you know, I guess dress him against Philly and then against Boston so he can hopefully slash and break his stick over Zach Rinaldo's head. It's about all Cicito will be good for. Because, I mean, let's face it. It's one of the captain's big things on this show because he likes the Dukes up. And, you know, they're doing away with the goons anyway. So why are we getting a mediocre one? But we shall see how it all plays out. And welcome to the Penguins, Tom Cicito, whatever. Never take much attention. On the other bad news, or not bad news. Well, I guess bad news for some people. But in the, you know, how now hockey's kind of, I don't know if hockey's getting more troublemakers or they're now the TMZ's around that they're getting more found out or whatever. But I guess Dale Puritan, remember Dale Puritan? Played a bunch of games with the Rangers. Kind of a big, slow, goony defenseman when they still existed. Kind of like if Jack, you know, kind of like a poor man's Jeff Bookaboom. But, you know, Bookaboom obviously won, did some good things. But Puritan, basically loser in all aspects of life. I guess he was robbing someone's house. So, oh, poor Dale Puritan. Well, that's, you know, exactly. But more sadder news, and I guess not just because he's a Penguin, just because he is a good guy and a Stanley Cup winner and a real hockey player, Daryl Sador, assistant coach of the Minnesota Wild. Mike Yo's partner in crime. I guess he got busted DUI, and he couldn't just, claim it was a mistake or whatever. He's going to rehab. So wish Mr. Sador well in rehab. Hope to see you back behind the bench with the Minnesota Wild. We love there. Actually, I have a T-shirt with Sador's name on the back. Of course, it's the 2009 Stanley Cup champion T-shirt. So it's the summer. They're winding down the summer programming. I think what's cool in the summer is I think you get to watch, some old videos and some old time games and watching a lot of those on MSG and the Hockey Network. The other thing I was doing, because I was thinking about doing this either as a column, but I just kind of got caught up in a bunch of other stuff this summer, and or just talking about it. But we've had just different guests, kind of a different summer than I thought we planned out. But I was going to do some like the weird histories of a lot of these NHL teams, because especially like the original six or the next six. Before the NHL was a big, I know, it's like, oh, there's not the NBA, not the NFL. But, it's big time, million, billion dollar business, even with Bettman screwing around with it. So there's some wacky history. So the one of them I dove into, I thought might be fun to be the first one because I thought we were going to get this old Blackhawk fan on, someone we could really talk old school, was the Chicago Blackhawks. I looked up their history. So three kind of neat things about the Blackhawks that I thought was pretty interesting. One is that let me say this first, because I always think about this. However, everyone who wants, like, I wish hockey was on ESPN. Oh, I wish it was a bigger sport, blah, 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 blah. Like, you know what? The bigger the sport, the more ESPN will ruin it. Like, in this respect, like the Chicago Blackhawks, coolest name probably in sports, coolest logo probably in sports. But, you know, if hockey is more popular, they'd have to be called, you know, like the Chicago, like, Native American Warriors or some other crap. And they'd have to, like, you know, take the cool-ass Indian down and make it some PC-friendly crap. Because the original Chicago Blackhawks, I guess, was not even named after the Blackhawks, like the Indians. It was named after the 333rd Brigade in World War I in the Army, because I guess the owner was one of those guys, and obviously a badass. And that's why, if you didn't notice, that's why it was always the Black Hawks in, and that's what they're named after, I should say. Only, but now those guys, I think, were named after the Fighting Indians. Anyway, it came down to that. So then the Blackhawks, I guess for years, Blackhawks were always spelled like Hawks and then Black, like Blackhawks, like two different words. And I guess in 1986, they found out, like, hey, back in, you know, 1910 or whatever, 1912, they found that it was really one word. So that's why it got pushed back for all the people listening in Chicago or just wondering. Two other cool things I found about the Chicago was that, you know, they always hear about the curse of the Bambino and the curse of that goat or any other baseball curse. The original sports curse was the curse of Muldoon, and he was the original coach, manager, coach of the Chicago Blackhawks. And I guess they were in first place. Or they had a great season, but they lost, like, the first round of the playoffs. And he got fired, and he said, you will never be in first place again. And it basically lasted for about 40 years. So I thought that's pretty cool, the curse of Muldoon. And the other thing that'll get us to the next thing we'll talk about, because I gave all the kids, not homework, but something fun to look at this week on Facebook, was that the Blackhawks, this is how shady hockey and all sports were in the old days. Not that they're not shady now, but the Blackhawks and the Red Wings used to be owned by the same people, the Norris family, hence the Norris Division. And until it was split up, and then, you know, like the Wirtz family kind of got them, they used the Chicago Blackhawks as the farm team for the Detroit Red Wings. So that's why there's a lot of bad blood, or that's the original, you know, the rivalry, and that's why the Chicago stunk for all those years until, like, the Bobby Hall era, because that's when they kind of got broken up and became their own team. That leads us to what I was going to talk about to begin with on this show, a little special summer edition, was the and I sent out the I tweeted out and I Facebooked out on Puck Off, excuse me, the fan page. Keep liking it. The rivalries, which was done on Grantland, and usually Grantland doesn't have the best hockey stuff on it, but that's because it's ESPN and Bill Simmons, who used to run it. You know, he's a fake hockey guy, even though he's from Boston. He liked every other sport better, but then, the Boston Bruins are winning. Oh, I'm a Bruin fan now. Oh. Whatever, Bill. Hope you're doing well. All your billions of dollars. Anyway, they go through since whatever, 19 whatever, this whole thing started, they go through all the best rivalries and some of the fun stuff. And first they started out, like, you know, first they were, first they said the first rivalry ever was, you know, the Canadians versus Toronto up until the original six era ended. And, you know, and that makes sense. They're the two teams in Canada. That's the real bad blood and everything. So that was fun to check out. And then they talked about, you know, like, then the next one was, like, Bruins Habs. And, then they just go down through the modern era. And, of course, the greatest modern era rivalry in existence, even, I mean, You can say what you want. You know, like Bruins, Habs, still going strong, still anger, as you can sense. I think I tweeted this. I don't think I put it on the Facebook page. But Max Talbot, the newest Bruin, actually went out and went into Montreal. And he's, you know, French-Canadian. And he said, what do you guys think of the Bruins? And, of course, it was all hatred. And they're like, oh, what do you think of Max Talbot? And they're like, he's a disgrace to the Providence and the French Canada. So that was pretty funny. But yeah, there's still hatred. And, of course, you have, you know, Rangers, Islanders, Pittsburgh, Philly, my war of choice. And then, of course, you have what I think was back in the day. Now they're going to renew old acquaintances on the outdoor game this year, Detroit and Colorado. Because in my time, if you take out their provincial hatreds and the old division hatreds, that really was the marquee. That was, you know, the Steelers versus Dallas, or if you want to, you know, the big, or the Patriots, I forget who, you know, Patriots, Green Bay, or Patriots, whatever. That's the big kind of national one, that the two best, I mean, because for a decade, those are pretty much the two best teams. They had tons of all-stars. We, you know, they've littered our best of teams forever on this show. And it really was hatred. And, you know, it all came down, and it peaked when Claude Lemieux crushed Draper. I know, you know, the captain hates Claude Lemieux. I'm not a big fan of Draper. I think he, like, captains are not to punch me, but I think he turned into it. He kind of set himself up for the hit a little bit. Although I thank Draper, because if he was still, because he came in and helped the Penguins win the Cup in 2009. That's how old I am. I still think everything's in the 1900s. You remember Abdicator, which is why I'm still a big fan of Abdicator, was killing us in 2009. But then Babcock, to be a nice guy, put Draper in the last couple games, and the Penguins won games 6 and 7. I think if Abdicator still plays, I think the Penguins don't win that series. I really do believe that. But then Draper was bitching, oh, Sid didn't shake our hands fast enough. It's like, go to hell, Draper. You're the whole reason why they lost. But it was fun about the Avalanche-Detroit rivalry, right? They had 3 different separate goalie fights. How great is that? Waugh took on Osgood versus Vernon. Then Osgood. Then he even took on Hasek. How great is that? That's the height of rivalry. The height of rivalry whenever that happens, when the goalies fight. And of course it all started with Draper. So and Claude Lemieux. But that's, I mean, that was literally like, you know, kind of like, not to, you know, bring up, you know, that's like, you know, the old Houstoners always were like always against the Steelers because they were the gateway to the championship, just like the way the Yankees and the American League are the gateway. It used to be the gateway to the championship. Well, that was kind of it, you know, either Detroit or the Avalanche had to go through one another. And that's what made things great. So it made things fantastic. The other great rivalries in them is, I think that's what the NHL is doing now. We can debate which playoff system you like. They're trying to get back. The last couple of years, they've been doing, you know, division. You have to make it out of your division, even with the old wild card screwing it around a little bit. You have to get out of your division to make the semifinals or the finals of your conference, let's say. And they're doing that to renew rivalries, to make rivalries more interesting, because they think they got away a little bit from the rivalries. So they are, because in general, the rivalries always were interdivision or inner, you're the next state over and stuff, like, you know, just like the bad blood, the way bad blood's supposed to be. Like, comes down to all, you know, the old school rivalries were everyone in the North, the bloody North division. Everybody hated each other. Chicago, Detroit, St. Louis. I mean, epic Minnesota. I mean, they actually had the St. Valentine's Day Massacre. It was great. There's great footage. If you've read the article, it's great. You see Scott Stevens as a St. Louis Blue taking on Manson as a Chicago Blackhawk. It's just epic. Just a war, you know. And that's what made hockey great. So I understand them going back to that. I mean, That's what made, I mean, that's what made Boston Montreal. Obviously, Boston was jealous of Montreal for 50 years. And then when they finally got Bobby Orr for a couple of years, they won some cups. And then they went, all of a sudden, it went back to Montreal winning everything again in the, with Scotty Bowman in the 70s. And then you had the too many men on the ice thing, which was just epic with, you know, Don Cherry. And the other great rivalry kind of in the 60s and in the 70s was the Rangers versus the Islanders. We just had Joe in here last week. But, you know, think about it. It's the Islander fans. You talk about, you know, whatever, war brings innovation. The Islander fans are the ones that invented 1940. If you're old enough to, if you're an Eastern Conference hockey fan before 1994, you'll all remember how enjoyable it was to chant that at Ranger fans. I mean, 1940 is still the greatest cheer in sports, in my opinion. And then it also gave way to Pot Van Sucks. You know, one of the original just mean-spirited tweets of all time, or tweet, the mean-spirited chants of all time. And it was great stuff. And if you don't know how that started, that's because Pot Van basically broke Alf Nielsen's ankle. So the promising career of Alf Nielsen was never the same after Brian Pot Van, or Denny Pot Van. And, of course, Denny Pot Van went on to win four cups. Which led to, like the guy said, like the next big rivalry. And that pretty much was like the Cowboys versus the Steelers of that era in hockey, because it was Edmonton versus the Islanders. Basically, the Islander dynasty was at its peak and then folded and waned, and then up came Wayne Gretzky and Messier. And that, the rest is history. And the fun part about that was the legend that after the Oilers lost the cup, the time they lost the cup when the Islanders won their fourth, they looked in the dressing room and just saw how beat up and tired the Islanders were. And then they realized, oh my God, that's how much we really have to push to do it. And then, of course, it was the Oilers that knocked off the 19 straight winning series. Imagine winning 19 straight series. Just absolutely, absolutely insane. And, of course, Edmonton had its share of rivalries back in those days, too, just with playing, you know, Calgary. And Vancouver was a little later, I think. But those old Calgary-Edmonton series were just evil. And that's what I love. I wish the captain was ready to hear this one. But I never knew this until I read the article. It was Dave Semenko, the great goon / bodyguard of Wayne Gretzky, would say, when they were going to fight, you know, or dance, however when you want to say it, he would say, "You want to go for a canoe ride?" How fun is that? That is good stuff. Yeah, think about, I mean, the great rivalries, like from the, you know, in some teams just never get. I mean, they think they have rivalries, like every, you know, because Washington has Ovi. They always try to, you know, they're trying to be on national TV a lot. They're like Rivalry Wednesday. And they show, like, oh, Philly and Washington. It's like, I don't know, maybe people in Delaware think that's the biggest rivalry. But, I mean, Philly's got about 10 hatred enemies. And I've said many times on this show, the Penguins, I mean, I think the Penguins only lost once to the Capitals in a playoff series. So, you know, they're always like, you know, they're probably third or fourth on the absolute, like, you know, if they're the Penguins rivalry. You know, the Penguins rivals. I mean, you know, basically in the East, you know, if you're a Flyer fan, you probably feel this anyway, too. Everyone hates the Flyers. I know people in Toronto hate the Flyers. People in Boston hate the Flyers. I think the Rangers were historically Philly's biggest rivalry for years, because the old saying is, like, the Penguins lost to Philly. It was 0 for Nixon. They didn't win in Philly from Nixon until, like, Lemieux 1989. So they didn't see it as a rivalry until Lemieux came. And then, boom, you know, we started winning. And then the hatred, even though they were classy, the cheer when Lemieux came back for cancer. And then they just became so jealous of Crosby. And now it's by far the most hatred in the league. The most hatred is Pittsburgh Philly. You know, I mean, Boston, Montreal's Hatfield and McCoys, and, you know, now Luch is in LA, but, you know, you still had the Luch Dale Weiss, and the Subban and all the hijinks and Pacioretty and you know what, Chara and that whole mess. So that's probably the second biggest rivalry right now. But I mean, number one is still Penn's Flyers as far as just pure hatred. And then the other where the rivalries always were where everyone kind of hated in the pre salary cap era. I think how there's people just hate the Yankees. They're from New York. F the Yankees. I think that same thing applied to the Rangers from everybody. And the Penguins had the Adam Graves break Lemieux's wrist saga. But I think in general, everyone kind of hated the Rangers. Of course, the Devils hate the Rangers. Of course, the Islanders hate the Rangers. Of course, the Boston, New York thing, the Philly, New York thing. I think there's a lot of Rangers have a lot of rivals and enemies along that way too. Maybe the Whalers. The Whalers definitely had Boston, the old Whale. But, you know, a lot of hatred going that way. So a lot of rivalries came out of that, obviously. You know, Devils Rangers, huge rivalry. And I'll tell you, the Devils Islanders, and now they're moving to Brooklyn. And now, you know, my buddy Joe, we talked last week in the car ride home. He's like, a lot of his Islander friends are not going to support them. I mean, they're going to watch them on TV, I guess, and it's going to be their team. But then they're not going to jump to the Rangers. But they're really not going to go. And I think Brooklyn has enough people to support a team. They should, right? According to the Welcome Back Cotter sign, the fourth largest city in the country, I think. But that's a great rivalry. And then, it's funny because in the West, you know, it's just being an East Coast kid, you're always like, oh, the West, you know, the rivalries I hear. Other than Northern Canada, we said Edmonton and Calgary and Vancouver, those are rivalries. Vancouver, Chicago has been a war. But I always thought that the kind of the San Jose, because I was in San Francisco so long, the San Jose Kings rivalry was a little bit manufactured, because let's face it, the Kings stunk for so long, and they hate the Sharks. Are you going to take your aggravation on Jeff Odgers? Give me a break. Someone give Jeff Odgers a beer and some, you know, work and some pre-plastic surgery. But I definitely feel the Anaheim Kings rivalry is definitely a good one, and a lot of hatred between fans, and now you're going to have Kessler and Luch. And it's going to be fantastic. I can't wait, you know. Cannot wait for that rivalry to hook in. Because that's the thing, is they're going back to this, because you can't make up rivalries. You either have to play in the playoffs, or there has to be an egregious injury, or someone has to feel like someone's player got stolen away from them. There has to be real anger, because let's face it, these guys are all millionaires. Even when they made, there was rivalries when everyone made no money and they all had to work in the auto body industry when they weren't playing in the summer. And then they came back and no one was making money. So they were like still friends and, you know, team bonding, and the rivalries were real. Now they're all millionaires. This guy's a free agent. This guy's going to this team. This guy's going to that team. So the way to like invent the or to whatever fabricate and make rivalries that maybe weren't there is make them play in the playoffs every year, and that's what the NHL is doing. And I think it's a great idea. And as much as I think it's tough to get out of the Patrick Division, it makes it worth it when you get to the semifinals or the conference finals, however you want to say it. All right, so that was the trip down memory lane, or the finals, the end of summer programming. Some big announcements. First of all, people are asking, are we doing the fantasy again? Yes, of course we're going to do fantasy again. I can't let that second half debacle lay forever. And Jose Galvez needs a chance to back-to-back. Have the dynasty going. So and we're going to start it up. We're going to start, you know, adding teams in 2 weeks. You will know. We'll open it up. But we did Yahoo last year, And I know we're going to have a sponsor this year that isn't Yahoo, that does fantasy, but I don't think they do, you know, they're like the daily stuff and, you know, and go on there and make money. Hey, please support our sponsors, FanDuel. But we want to do the season-long thing. And if you guys, I'm opening it up, you guys are listeners, we love you. If you're listening and you know of a site where we can do more than 12 people, because that's what happened last year. We had like 75 people wanted to join in 3 days. Can only take like the first 12. That was only in 3 days. Hopefully we'll have like a week and get everyone can hear the episode. So we'll get everyone to have a team, get in. We'll have a lot of fun. It was a good time last year. And please email me, Joe Bartnick, Joe, JoeBartnick, at Hotmail, because I will join any league where we can have more than 12 people. Because between my stand-up and doing this and that, I can't have 10 teams in 10 different leagues. I want to have one league, and that's – I even turned down a couple of leagues last year. Oh, yeah, oh, Mr. Puckoff doesn't want me – I, you know, if you ever want to see an argument, call your wife and have her try to trade your fantasy team. So, you know, one league, we're going to try to get like 50 people in a – I need to get like maybe, you know, at least triple what we have. At least like 50 people would be – I think it would be good because everyone wants in. Everyone wants a shot at Jose, and we want to give it to him. Second big news is we're going to get our own new website, and we have a new logo. So it's coming out next week. You can whatever you want to do. You can hate it. You can love it, whatever. But we're going to have our own website. It's going to be a lot more interactive, even though the Facebook thing didn't quite – it's good. I like people like it, but I don't even quite understand it. It seems to me in the sense of like, is it up? Is it not up? In a sense, people put stuff on and I'm like, I hope it's up. I want people to go back and forth. We're going to have that. And I guess the big news is we are not going to be on Sideshow anymore. The guys have been fantastic from our great producer, Andrew, who we've completely loved for the last, how long have you been here? A year. He's the best. And believe me, because the big bosses do stuff and it's out of our control. But bigger and better things, because this is even the better news. We are going to be able to go live. We're not going to do it next week because there's too many flubs and we don't want to. We want to get it down before we go live and have it screwed up. But we're going to have the ability to do video so you can see me. You can see how dressed up and what a handsome man Frazier is and what a slob I am. We're going to be able to have like Corey Hirsch, who's going to start back up again when the season starts because you know him, you love him. He'll be like live. You can see him and all the guests. You can see all the guests and it'll be fun. And we'll be able to take calls. Like real live calls, and it'll be good. It'll be a big step, and then also after that step, there'll be another big step. But I can't announce that step until that's done because that's there's paperwork involved in that. And if you know anything about me, I hate paperwork. So we're bringing some of the same advertisers. So please work with those guys. If you're gonna do fantasy, please do FanDuel. If you're gonna do, if you're gonna go online, don't and buy tickets. Don't go to the competitors. Go to SeatGeek. Do that because they're all joining forces. So it's gonna be big L. And the other thing is, it's gonna enable us to do live events, especially in Canada. And we're working on that now with Ticketfly, doing some live events in Canada. You've been great to us in Vancouver. You've been great to us in Edmonton. And so we're looking forward to coming up there and having a sponsor and having a party. And, you know, maybe we'll come up with the Kings. We'll bring Luch. I'll wear my Luch. I'm not wearing a King shirt, but whatever. I'll wear my Captain Ron. Come in peace. I'll wear my Captain Ron sweater. So that's the big news. Going on, and it's going to be fun. So everyone's assured me that everything will be smooth. You can listen from the exact same spot. It just won't be the Sideshow Network. It's going to be a little bit of hodgepodgey for a couple weeks there. While we do our previews, not hodgepodgey, the quality. The show will be the same, and you'll get it the same way, but we're not going to roll out the big thing until we get the big clearance from the big, big guy. And it's not Lemieux, but somebody close. Somebody with maybe actually more money. Yeah, things are rolling. Things are going good on that front. Because I'll tell you, when you were trying to do all this, I try to impress upon people that the Sideshow Network was the best us. And they don't, and some are like, oh, yeah, we want you guys. We want you guys over here. We want you over there. We want this. I'm like, I don't think you understand. I've never had a problem in 2 years at the Sideshow. A man with leukemia came in and made sure my show got out on time. So I don't want to hear any excuses about anything. Our fans are the best. And that's why we're not going to go live, video, everything all at one shot. Because I'm like, I can't have any problems here. So we're going to roll out little by little all the new gadgets and everything. But once again, I just wanted to thank everybody at the Sideshow. From Roddy, Sean, our original producer, who was a great guy. You know, he's from Buffalo. You know, we had the great Maria, old Scott. An interesting thing is Johnny Bench will be back in the fold, helping us do some of the remotes. We're going to have some. And the other thing is we're going to have on the website added bonus programming. So it won't be just once a week from now on. There will be once a week, but there will be added bonus programming. If you can't get enough of me, the Penguins, Luch, my hatred of the Flyers, my love of Brandon Saad, all the Blackhawks fans that come on, and oh, the great Blackhawks, and you know, our love of the Red Wings, and our disdain for the way the Minnesota dumped all over Mike Yo. If you can't wait, if you need more than once a week of that, we will be bringing that too. So season 3 of Puck Off is going to be huge. Same old bells and whistles. Oh, the other thing. The other thing is you know our standard awards. So look at that. Yeah, they're coming to get me. our standard awards. We went out a couple new ones. We went out a couple more awards this season. So email, you can either Facebook that one or you can email me at the Joe Bartnick at Hotmail. You can do that too. We win a couple more awards, not to kill our next producer, but a couple more. We'll make it fun. And we'll give Johnny Bench something to do. And it should be good. It should be good. What can I say? One more things to say, though, about the awards. The awards, and also, if you put the awards, also what song you want to hear from that and stuff. So next week will be our first one, not on Sideshow, but it'll be out the same same thing. Friday, I think it comes out Friday at midnight or whatever, Friday, Thursday night at midnight, whatever. I hate that whole, it's really Saturday morning, whatever. You know when it comes out. So next week will be the captain will be back. We're looking ahead to next season. Then we'll be breaking down all of the divisions leading up to Wednesday, October 7th. They drop the puck. Thank God. How awful is preseason football? I was actually just watching baseball. I cannot wait for hockey. We cannot wait. The captain will be back. I want to thank Andrew once again. He's been the best. You people have never had a problem. We've never heard a problem. We want to continue that excellence. I want to thank the Sideshow Network. Been nothing but super to me and Frazier. And we will be back next week. The season starts officially next week. I'm glad you didn't stop listening. To all you Midwest people. Pittsburgh's not in the Midwest. All the Midwest people, I will be with the great, the man with the belt, Bill Burr, the whole end of October. I think that's Pittsburgh, Cleveland. They don't have a hockey team. But Detroit, Minneapolis, now's your chance. Come out. Wear your Matt Cook jerseys. Free Mike Yo t-shirts. And Detroit, obviously love to see Detroit. Obviously love Detroit. And our favorite town that isn't New York or Chicago or Pittsburgh, or San Francisco, excuse me, or Pittsburgh, Chicago. We'll be there 2 days, Chicago Theater, with the great Bill Burr. So good things ahead, everybody. We'll talk to you next week. We're out.